This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Christian's Tailgate on White Oak. Here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Joel Blank, Mario Ellie, till 4 o'clock at Christian's Tailgate in the Heights. We're here. Why aren't you? I mean, unbelievable food. Best burgers in Houston. Hey. Great drink specials. People are telling us they're here. They're watching the bowl games. The Huskers are on TV. The Horned Frogs were. The TCU contingent still here hanging around, sharing some adult beverages and hanging out with us. Why don't you join us? You can join us either in person here at Christian's Tailgate in the Heights on White Oak. And by the way, we're giving away two tickets to the Cotton Bowl on Monday with the Badgers taking on, does it matter, Western Michigan. And I've said does, that I'm buddy. Going to give them away to the first person that comes up here that can show me something from Western Michigan, something from Wisconsin, or the wild card, something from Mario Ellie and the Rockets. Not just a plain Rockets, this or that. Has to have a 17 on it, or it's got to be something that Mario had a part of, where he maybe something he signed for you previously. Other than that, it doesn't count. But the first person that can do that, I'm going to give you two tickets to the Cotton Bowl on Monday for Wisconsin and Western Michigan. That should be a good game. That should be fun. So we're here. Why don't you join us at Christian's Tailgate? They have taken care of us. We were at the one in downtown on Wednesday. I've been to the one in Midtown many times. I love this location here in the Heights because it's cozy and nice. It's convenient, good parking, and guess what? Unbelievable atmosphere to watch sports because the food and bevs are great and the people around are better. By the way, tonight, karaoke, Mario Ellie is contemplating either doing Jodeci or Barry White. $3 shots all night. 50-cent oysters from 2 to close. Hey. Happy hour right now till 7 o'clock. So enjoy some happy hour while you enjoy happy
Patron,
hour on the radio.
Baby, get that Patron, baby.
There you go. Mario should be getting an endorsement deal from Patron
any day. I know, right?
Nick, we got some people on the phones that want to talk. Who's up there?
We got Emmanuel. He wants to talk a little Rockets.
Emmanuel, what's up?
I got two questions for Joel, and I got two questions for Mario. First one, Joel, you were talking about you didn't know why fans couldn't be in their seats. You know why. You know why
wait,
fans don't get there.
I didn't hear that. Say that again.
Why fans don't come to the games.
Oh, why fans don't come to the games. Yep, you're right. Yep.
You know why, right?
Please. Well, I mean, I know why. What I've experienced, but I don't think it's a good enough excuse. So why don't you tell me what you think?
Well, the main reason, number one, is a lot of corporate clientele down there. And then the second reason is it's not the summit where, I mean, the main attraction is the arena. They have the club season. There's a lot going on in the club. So you have people go to the restaurants, and it's more of a, you know, atmosphere, more of a restaurant and, like, hangout type atmosphere.
Let me not give you excuses, but let me give you my take, right? And I'm not going to say it's right, all right? The excuses are there's too many amenities in a new building. You got the four-star restaurant. Right. You got the clubs. You got the Lexus Lounge. You got the other lounges. I'm not buying any of it. If you're a fan, you're a fan, which is why you're going to the game to watch the game, to be a part of the game. Do you think that a team like Portland, a team like Golden State, a team like Oklahoma City, Mario, you've experienced a team like San Antonio. In a small market, yes, I understand. Don't give me the only game in town either, because guess what? Fans are passionate because they love the sport and they love the team and they love the game. So therefore, they go to the game with the first purpose in mind, to root for the team, to get a win, to be a part of the action. You don't go and you show up in the second quarter. And whether you say it's business purposes or not, the norm with Rockets fans are, I show up midway through the second quarter, I hang out for a while, I'm seen, I get a few beverages, and guess what? I got to beat the parking rush. I'm gone before the fourth quarter happens. You know how many people say they had tickets to go to the McGrady game when he scored 13 and 32? And how many people say they were there? And then how many people I say, but were you there at the end? That's when it gets to that pregnant pause that we don't like in broadcasting and we hate to hear in sports. Be there till the end. Come early.
Hey, I'm not saying,
stay late. Cheer off. And that's my response.
Hey, I'm not saying it's right. I agree with you.
I get you.
And the second thing for you. Okay. In your opinion, why do you believe that the Rockets did not sign Donatas Manyunas? I believe, this is just my opinion, I believe they didn't sign him because they wanted to save money. Now, what's your opinion on why they didn't sign Donatas?
My opinion why they didn't sign Demo is it's like sixfold, right? I think from one perspective, they were able to label. I think Daryl Morey wanted a deal. I think because they nullified that trade last year with Detroit, he had to come back. He's kind of labeled damaged goods. They're thinking, hey, we're going to let every team in the league think that this guy's back is really suspect, and then we're going to get him on the cheap. We're going to sign him for multiple years. We're going to get the bargain of all bargains, and we're just going to keep him on our roster so that, one, he's not anybody else's team to help them, and two, when we need him, he's there, and if he doesn't play right, we can just bury him on the bench, and it doesn't matter. I think in the meantime, what you saw was a team took interest. A team said, look, I'm going to pass him on his physical, and I've got a lot of roster space and a lot of cap room. I'm going to put him on my roster and see what he's got and let him go to town. He was excited. It was a fresh start. It was an opportunity to do something in a different environment. He was already pissed off. He was traded and didn't want to come back in the first place. Now he can leave. You can part ways. But guess what? Daryl Morey refers to his players, whether he does it publicly or not, he looks at them as assets. He's not going to let an asset get away without getting something in return. So he matched the offer sheet, and then you had the back and forth. Then it was never going to be resolved. I think Donatus Moniunis, as Mario, I think you can chime in on this too, we've talked about, could help this team right now. It's unfortunate he's not on this team.
Yeah, I like him as a player. And we talked about earlier, he fits their style. He's a big man who can stretch the floor. He can shoot threes. You can play him in pick and roll, and you can post him up. And he's a good defender at the basket, just what you need at your front line, especially playing in D'Antoni's system. So tough loss. Look for them to be active in the trade deadline and try to add another big body, which they really do need.
So
what's my two questions?
We got two more from Mario. What's up?
Okay. Besides Jordan, who are some of the toughest players for you to guard? Not counting Jordan. Jordan's obviously number one. But, that's my question.
Was Jordan number one?
Of course. Okay. Jordan, Clyde, Sharif Abdul-Rahim, Grant Hill, Mitch Richmond, Magic Johnson.
People forget they had you playing everybody but
yeah,
centers.
Yeah, Scottie Pippen, Terry Cummings, James Worthy.
Terry Cummings is a guy people forget was an all-star and was a beast.
My good friend Danny Ainge, who else?
Oh, yeah, you love Danny Ainge.
All
right, we're running
guys.
Out of time, man. One more for Mario. What do you got?
And then the last one is, who were some of your all-time favorite teammates? And they don't have to necessarily be with the Rockets, but just all-time favorite teammates in the whole career.
Great question, man. Thanks for the call.
That's a fantastic question. Chris Mullin, Mitch Richmond, Tim Hardaway on that Golden State team.
People forget you were part of Run TMC.
Yes, they forget about that.
Right.
And it's good when I go to the Bay Area, they still remember me up there. That's pretty cool.
You do have a lasting effect on people. And I guess positive thing. I'm going to say that right now.
And you go to Portland, you go Jerome Kersey, Cliff Robinson, Clyde, Rod Strickland.
Terry Porter.
Terry Porter, just fantastic teammates. Buck Williams, God bless my man, Duckworth,
yep.
All great,
Kevin
great guys.
Yep.
Especially then I come to the Rockets, you got Sam, who's still one of my best friends, Robert, Vernon, Dream, Clyde, Amigo.
Kenny.
Tim Bro, Kenny, Otis Thorpe. Tim Bro, Joe, a lot of good guys here. Ton of good guys here.
We're going to get more into that. I want to pick your brain on a couple of things. I want to talk about teammates but teams and where you rank in your own personal archives, championships, players. And then I want to talk about the NBA today. The millennials won't let me let it sleep that I think Michael Jordan's the best player of all time. They got to tell me about LeBron. They got to tell me that you just don't know. You don't see him enough. You don't appreciate what he can do. I know that I saw Michael Jordan play, and you guarded him, and you played against him. And I just don't think that there's another player that has been on this planet that has had the combination of athleticism, ability, and that killer instinct to want to step on you when you're down than Michael Jordan. We're going to get your thoughts on that and a whole lot more. We're here till 4. Christian's Tailgate in the Heights. You should join us, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Christian's Tailgate on White Oak. Here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joe Blank, Mario LA till 4 o'clock. Then we turn it over to the Blitz with Fred and AJ till 7. We are here at Christian's Tailgate in the Heights. You should be here too. plenty of food and beverage, and the food is outstanding. Mario can tell you that. I'm going to get into some before we get out of here. Great drink specials. Karaoke tonight where either Jodeci or Barry White could be performed by Mario Elliott. Could not. We could do that. We've got happy hour prices right now. Going on till 7 o'clock, 50-cent oysters from 2 to close. My man Jason's trying to sample all of it at the bar right now. He may be here till 9 or 10. You never know. But you guys should be here, too. Christian's Tailgate in the Heights. The TCU contingent is now leaving.
Oh, the Frogs. Frog Nation is leaving, Joe? Frog Nation leaving?
Wait, you're going to another bar? Oh, you're going to stay here for the outside
good.
Bar.
All right. Happy hour.
So if you want to be a part of the TCU contingent, they're still here. They're going to be mulling around in different areas of the bar. But come on out to Christian's Tailgate. By the way, if you come out and you have a use for two tickets to the Cotton Bowl on Monday featuring my Wisconsin Badgers and Western Michigan, you have one thing and one thing only to do. You better be the first person to get up here to show us either something with Mario Elie's attachment number 17 or otherwise to the Houston Rockets, or something from the Badgers, or something from Western Michigan. First person to do that says they can use the tickets, we will put those tickets in your hands. If you can't do it, don't try to do it. Let someone who can use them win, but we have them here for you. Okay, with that being said, back on it. We talked about Demo before the break. They're out there now on Twitter saying, well, I said he failed in Detroit, he failed in Houston. Yes, but you have to keep something in mind, too. You can fail a physical in the NBA without having a medical reason why. The team that is doing it can do it at their own prerogative. So there's a lot more that still has to come out in this whole scenario. Demo has turned it over to the Players Association. He wants them to investigate it more. There's a lot of things going on. It'll be interesting when push comes to shove, when the truth comes out. Demo has said when he finds his new team, he's going to join us on the air, and we're going to be able to talk about this. So though we can't have the answers for you now, hopefully we will sometime. You know how these things go. It is still a business at the end of the day. And when feathers are ruffled and feelings are hurt, that can factor in just as much as medical records when you're talking about a player.
Yes, because I had that same experience here in 97 when I was with the Rockets. Found out I was involved in a trade to Toronto and sort of let my emotions get caught up in it. Finding out later that day that the trade didn't go through and had to go back to the team. So it was very difficult transition knowing that a team didn't want you and the trade fell through. Sort of the same thing what Robert went through when he went to Detroit and failed his physical and Matt Bullard and a lot of guys. But you said it, Joe. It's a business at the end of the day. I didn't handle it properly. You got to understand. They can trade you whenever the hell they want to. You know, Shaq been traded. Jabbar been traded, some of the greatest players in the NBA been traded, so I'm a guy that can get traded. So I handled it wrong. It's a business at the end of the game. You can't let the emotions let you get caught up in it.
I had Rudy T on about a week or so ago, your man Rudy T up for the Hall
the
of
best.
Fame.
Should be in
he
the Hall already.
He is the best. He is a phenomenal man. We were talking about how the age-old discussion in Houston always comes up. Rockets won back-to-back titles, but would they have won them if the Chicago Bulls had Michael Jordan? Now, for 1 year, people forget they had him.
Yeah.
But he had come back, and he was trying to do it, and it wasn't working for him. That's not our problem.
Oh, they wasn't saying nothing when he had 55 at the Garden, right? Yeah,
thank
they
you. There you go.
Okay,
so here's the thing. One, we talked about the fact that when we were playing in Phoenix after those two championships, Charles had Rudy, the coaching staff, and everybody over to the house, and MJ and Tiger were there, and Rudy and MJ were just talking. And Rudy just said they threw it out there. What would have happened? And he goes, let me tell you something, man. With the way those teams matched up, he was like, there's one thing that we didn't have an answer for. He said, that big Nigerian that was on that team was the best big man on the planet at that time. He goes, I'm not sure we had an answer for him. And at least he was honest, because that's what we were dealing with. Michael was Michael, but we had Mad Max. And Mad Max didn't get enough credit for being one of the best lockdown defending athletes at the guard position in this league. They had you as well. You guys had guys that I'm not gonna, no one could stop Jordan,
no.
But you could somewhat neutralize him. You tell me which big man on the Bulls was going to have a snowball's chance in hell of stopping 34.
Not one, but it's always going to be a big if question. I have confidence in our Rocket team, the character we had, the players we had in that locker room. And like you mentioned, Dream was MVP that year. He was playing at a very, very high level, and we followed suit. Vernon was having a fantastic year, hitting clutch shots. You mentioned us getting off to a 15-0 start, winning a bunch of games, 59 wins that year, winning our conference, second seed in the West. I mean, We had a lot of things.
Best Rockets team in the history of the franchise,
sure.
In my mind,
top
from start to finish,
top to bottom. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That was
so,
a good team.
Getting back to Mad Max, and one thing I would like to say is I give the Rockets credit, and I only say I give them credit because whether they did it because they had to, because they were bringing back alums for the 50th anniversary, whatever the reason may be, people at the top who didn't get to know that championship team that wanted to get attached to them, they brought Mad Max back this year. No one deserved to be back more in the fold with the team that he did the most for, that did the most for him, than Vernon Maxwell. Great to see Mad Max back doing things for the Rockets, because Mad Max is he's a staple in what the Rockets did in their history.
Huge, huge. Helped me become a better player. Love playing with Max, love competing with him. Great to be his backup. Me and him used to always go at it at practice every day. But once me and him stepped off the floor, it was a friendship. We had a great friendship. This dude has so many game-tying, game-winning shots. This dude can be 1-for-15. You go to Max, he's going to deliver every time. Miami, San Antonio, the list goes on and on and on. The stuff he did for us, and his competitive edge is what sort of led our team. His edge on the court and Dream, just phenomenal play at the front line. It was just a fantastic combination.
And people have to realize, too, where Vernon came from in part made Vernon who he was. He wasn't backing down to anybody. He took every challenge head on, and that's why every time he played Michael Jordan, people forget. Whether they call him the Jordan stopper or not, and a lot of people did, but he gave Michael the business more times than not because Michael liked to talk. He was going to talk more. Michael liked to be a little physical. He was going to be as physical. Michael liked to make sure he hit a shot, he was going to talk to you about it. Max wasn't afraid to take the next one down. Max, I'm not saying Max was Michael Jordan, but Max was one of those guys that was willing to go and wanting to go toe-to-toe with Michael Jordan.
When you play in the NBA, Joe, you want to go against the best. And that's why you play in the NBA for us, for the competition. And that dude was the best who ever did it. And Max didn't turn down for no challenge. Michael Jordan was just another player to him. And you heard him in the Clutch City video. He's like, I used to cry. You know, he used to get so up to play Michael Jordan. And that we were all the same way. When we had big games going against Barkley and those guys, those are the kind of games you want to be in, playing against the best, being known as the best. And we got our share of wins, I tell you, against that Bulls team. And I like our chances in a seven-game series. Was not going to be easy, but I take us in seven all day.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. And you know what? At the end of the day, all we know is unless you got an Xbox or a PlayStation, the bottom line was the jewelry's in your jewelry box, not theirs.
Exactly.
So enough said.
Enough said.
Now,
right.
you kind of touched on it, but I really wanted to get your opinion. The millennials all say LeBron is the guy, the greatest of all time. And I will preface this by saying I never saw Wilt or Russell in person. I was lucky enough to see up close and personal Bird Magic and Jordan. I say Jordan's the best of all time. You kind of touched on it, but can you give me your 2 cents on comparing LeBron and Michael Jordan?
I just have Michael Jordan. I mean, Michael Jordan is it for me, what he did on the court. All defensive team, going to the finals and not losing. That has
ever
a lot to do with it. Ever 6-0, never been to a seventh game. Never allowed a team to go to seventh game in the finals. A couple of LeBron championships, he had a lot of help. I mean, Ray Allen, you know, in the Spurs, Popovich, not having Tim Duncan in there when Bosh got the offensive rebound. Tim Duncan has 35 and 19 that game. And you have him on the bench for the biggest rebound of the game. Bosh moves D.O. out the way and kicks it out to Ray Allen. It may be a different story, but it's Jordan for me. I love LeBron, what he brings to the table. In this player era now, he's the best, but I'll give him top eight for sure, top eight of all time. There's
there
a lot
go.
Of great players I've seen, but Michael Jordan is it for me. Fantastic talent. I throw Dream in that top eight also, the other six.
Let's get into that when we get back. Mario Elie, you heard it from a guy that played against the best, and he told you who he feels like the best is. A lot of people will argue that point because a lot of people love LeBron. But look, regardless.
Rightfully so.
Right.
He's a
but regardless,
player.
You're not taking away anything from either guy because just to be in the conversation means you've been one hell of a player. So
yes, sir.
We've got about a half hour to go in the show. We are at Christian's Tailgate, located in the Heights. We've got 2 tickets to the Cotton Bowl. All you got to do is bring me something from Wisconsin, something from Western Michigan, or something from Mario Elie with a 17 on it when he played for the Rockets. I'll give you two tickets to Dallas for the game on Monday between Wisconsin and Western Michigan in the Cotton Bowl. We're going to give them away before four, hopefully. Someone should come through this door at Christian's Tailgate in the Heights, and we'll hook you up. ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Christian's Tailgate on White Oak. Here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Joel Blank, Mario Elie, until 4 o'clock before we turn it over to the Blitz, which will be here 4 to 7, Fred and AJ, right here at Christian's Tailgate in the Heights. Got a good crowd developing. It's a big place, plenty of room, great food, best burgers in Houston, lots of drink specials. They got happy hour now till 7. They've got karaoke tonight. They got $3 shots. Mario already tells you he's in for the Kiss of Death shot, which would be Fratone and whatever else. We appreciate Titan fans showing up with U of H hats.
Yeah, come on, dude. Who you with, man? College, pro, make up your mind, though. It's like Nike and Adidas. Who Fred, you with, Nike or you with Adidas, man?
It's
you, can't be mix-mashing over there. All right.
But you're not wearing Hey, he's enjoying happy hour, it looks like. Don't grab your Derek Dowell in public.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're an old school Oilers, then you should be wearing something Oilers.
He got Nike shoes, Adidas shorts, Titans, and the U of H hat. What we call that?
Oxymoron.
Oh, okay. That's what we call
that. An oxymoron is when you make a combination that doesn't go together. If you put peanut butter and ketchup, that's an oxymoron because they don't go together. So that's what we're doing.
Happy hour's been good. Appreciate you.
Happy hour's been good. Happy holidays maybe next. You never know, but Happy New Year's coming tomorrow.
Right.
So in the final segment, we're going to have Nick doing his annual or his weekly Nick Picks, and you can be a part of that. When you have a cell phone and you don't want the alternative, you go to Nick Picks. Before that, I wanted to get you to touch on something that you have firsthand knowledge of. George Karl trying to sell some books, but probably going about it all the wrong way.
I totally agree.
Killing Kenyon Martin, J.R. Smith, Carmelo Anthony. Then he kind of apologizes for that, but then he kills Damon Lillard, says the Blazers' problems all lie with Damon Lillard, who anybody and everybody that knows the Blazers know is a great guy and a hell of a player. And his protege, the guy he got everywhere in life, Terry Stotts, who's now the head coach of the Blazers, comes out and says, stay in your lane. If you don't want another job in basketball, you don't want to coach again, and you want to ruin your Hall of Fame numbers and your chances of getting in the Hall, then keep doing what you're doing. And I give Terry Stotts credit. You played for George Karl. You played for George Karl in the CBA when he was trying to make a name for himself. Your thoughts on all of this?
Very disappointed because I'm a fan of George. I thought we all helped each other. And you forget Terry Stotts was his assistant on that Albany team. So
yep.
All three of us sort of benefited from each other. All of us had success. And to handle that the way, as good of a coach you were, to say that about those guys, I know those guys personally. Kenyon, Melo, JR, those are good guys, amazing guys. Had a chance to coach against those guys, and those guys are always polite every time I see them. If you got a problem with something, keep that to yourself. You know, it may be true. I don't know if it's true or not, but you don't throw guys under the bus. And when you go and talk about family, that's going too far, man. These guys are successful in life, coming from single – some of them guys coming from single-parent homes.
Yes.
You don't do that. You don't touch nobody's family. Okay, you're going to be critical of the players, fine, even though I don't like it. That's your opinion. But don't throw family. Don't throw single-parent household. They're coming from the hood. That has nothing to do with anything, man. I thought he handled it wrong. And what do you know about Damon Lillard? Damon Lillard is averaging 27 points a game. He's the sixth leading scorer in the NBA. He's a fantastic young talent. Just a good dude on and off the court. Why would you go there?
Here's my thing, too. Even if you wanted to be critical of some of the players you've coached, there is a way to state that. But don't say they're like spoiled AAU kids like they would be in golf or tennis lessons. But then, even that, you can get away with that. But when you take it to the next level and say, it was difficult to coach these kids playing hood ball. You know, he uses terms that Phil Jackson got in trouble for. Posse, hood ball, you know, the things that... That's going too far.
It's different when you have 11 championships. So they sort of, you know, when Phil does it, they like, oh, okay, you know, it's a funny, you know, he killing Kobe. Now you coaching Kobe again. Only Phil Jackson, a guy like that, can get over. But George, you ain't win nothing, man. You've been to one final. Terrific coach. Love your energy, but this is a terrible, terrible way to end your coaching career. Nobody wants to be around you. People go look at you differently.
And
you
here's the
you
thing,
don't
too.
Handle that like that.
You know you what Terry Stotts said, and we had a conversation the other day in the studio off air, but people don't realize George Karl's the sixth winningest coach in the history of the NBA. 1,131 wins. So you're definitely going to be on a ballot or two, and you're going to be considered, whether you get in or not. Again, we also talked on air this week about the fact that the voting process does have a lot of personality to it because the people voting have their own criteria. They don't follow one set of rules.
Yeah.
And some of these old school guys are going to say, I don't like that at all, and I'm not for any of that. And that's going to cost you.
Yeah, and I don't blame them. I mean, leave that alone. Leave that personal stuff alone, you know? It's sort of like when you're in the locker room, like what D'Angelo Russell did. There's something that's like a code. You don't break. You know, you coaching these guys, okay, you have problems with them. Keep that to yourself, man.
In-house. Keep it in-house.
Yeah, keep it in-house. And so I'm glad that when he wasn't able to, you know, say the stuff about Sacramento. Granted, when they finished paying him, I'm thinking somewhere, somehow, that stuff's going to come out on what happened with the Kings.
Sure.
But he can't say nothing now because he's still getting dollars from the Sacramento.
Well, here's what I'm saying. You better make enough money on this damn book
yes.
to never have to work again in the rest of your life.
Because he's sort of
because
done.
What you've done is alienated so many people that were instrumental in your success in your coaching profession and in your personal life. Friends that were friends before are not going to be your friends by the time you hit that door. Because the things that you said have rubbed people the wrong way, and no one's going to wipe their hands clean and go, hey, you're just trying to sell books. BS, man. I mean, you're taking guys that were instrumental in you being successful as a coach on every level. You helped them in the CBA.
Yeah.
You know, guys that helped them in all of the stops along the way, Milwaukee, Seattle, I mean, Denver, all the places where he was a success. And now he wants to kill all those people that paved the way for him to be sixth all-time in wins in the NBA. He's not doing that unless he got people that would go to war for him, not against him.
Not just that. You coming off a cancer fight that so many people were supporting you
yes.
going through this cancer. Whether it's coaches, players, I'm hearing tweets about him trying to get better. I emailed them. When you're going through tough times, people were around you, helping you out, giving you energy. And now you're going to retreat. You go to repay him by doing this? That's not cool. That's not what it's all about, man. Great coach, but he dropped the ball on this one, Joe. I can't respect him for this move.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And based on the sentiments of the guys that have responded, and Kenya Martin said, quite honestly, I didn't want to respond at all, but I have kids, and those kids are going to hear this
yeah.
and think differently about their father.
Right. He's absolutely right. And Kenyon's a good dude, man.
Yep.
That dude made the best out of his career, been to a finals. I mean, all them guys, man. Melo, I mean, JR, these are good dudes, man. Why are you going to do that?
Here's a guy in George Karl that may misjudge these guys and want the public to misjudge them because of the tattoos on their skin rather than the quality of the soul of the person that's in the and doing the things that these human beings are. And it's a shame because, look, Carmelo's going to be in the Hall of Fame someday. You know? Kenyon had a heck of a career. JR's an NBA champion.
Exactly.
George, you got an NBA championship?
No.
Could you have had one if maybe you'd done things a little bit differently? Quite possibly. But guess what? There's people that have, as you said, put their arms around you when you were less than 100% and made sure you're still on this planet living and they supported you. And what do you do in return? Instead of giving them a hug or a shout-out, you give them a kick squarely in the grapes and say, I'm trying to sell some books. I don't like it.
And reading a great story on Melo, there's a kid who had a rare cancer.
Yep, saw
he
it.
Buys the kid's family a car.
A van,
I mean,
yep.
A van,
yep.
man, out of his pocket, man. These
no
guys
question.
Are good dudes, man. You know, they don't seek attention. They do it quietly. And I'm glad that was on Twitter. I'm a big fan of Melo, man.
You just said it. Do it quietly.
Yeah.
George Karl's not doing it quietly, and all it do is hurting
man.
Him
yeah.
in the process. All right, Absolutely. We got one segment left. We got Mario and his Giants taking on the Redskins. I need
Odell,
a win.
Odell, baby. Here we come, Odell, the best receiver in the game, baby. No question.
I need a win.
Get the ball
for his
to the
Giants.
Playmaker.
That's hard to say, but it would help me if we got a win from his Giants. Lots of big games to
take
talk
care
about.
Take the ball, Eli. Just take care of the ball, baby. Just take care of the ball.
Wow, we've really got someone fired up. We only got one segment to go. It's Mario and Joel from Christian's Tailgate in the Heights. We'll be back with more ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. I assumed you knew. This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Christian's Tailgate on White Oak. Here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Nick, back at the studio. Mario Ellie and Joel Blank from Christian's Tailgate in the Heights. We got one segment to go before we turn it over to the Blitz and Fred and AJ. Fred and AJ have two tickets to the Cotton Bowl, too. I got two tickets right here. No one's been able to come up with anything Rockets Mario Ellie to get two tickets
badges,
to the Cotton Bowl on Monday. Nothing. No one has anything Badgers besides me, and I'm not going out to the house. Anybody got anything from Western Michigan? Anybody want to go to the game, the Cotton Bowl game Monday in Dallas? All right, well, then we got who? How many people want to go? Someone over here, someone over there. Now we got to come up with a contest, Mario. We'll think about it. We'll get it to you.
Yeah, we'll get it.
All right, Nick, we got NFL playoff scenarios and pick'ems. If you got a cell phone, then you got to have Nick Picks. So Nick Picks every week is a staple. Nick, what do you got? You got five games, and we're going to pick them. We'll see how we do. I already know which way this guy's going in one certain game, but
yes, sir.
Then again, you know me too. So
and we'll get to that game for sure, but we'll start with the Raiders and Broncos. The Broncos are at home, -1.5. Broncos 8-7. Raiders without Derek Carr, 12-3. What do you got?
The Raiders got to kind of do some things, too, in order to establish some stuff. If they lose, that kind of sets the wheels in motion for your Houston Texans, one of your Wees.
I like the
Denver.
Raiders. I like Raiders.
And I kind of do, too.
I don't think Vaughn Miller, I don't think, and no, DeMarcus Ware.
Ware's out.
Yeah, back
the Broncos
surgery.
Aren't in no matter what. Look, I think they're folding up their tents.
Yeah,
they got
I wouldn't
their
jeopardize
Super Bowl last
those
year.
Guys.
I'm going to take the Raiders in Denver as well.
Me too.
All right.
All right,
Nick?
We'll go to a game that means a lot to Mario.
Nick, who are you taking in that game?
I'll pick the Raiders for sure. Yeah, I'm not I've been down on the Broncos for about 3 or 4 weeks, so yeah, I'm definitely picking the Raiders. Giants and Redskins. Redskins at home, -7.5 for the Redskins, Mario. Who do you got?
I don't know. Are we resting players this weekend? I'm not sure.
This is your other we.
I like Eli to play to keep his streak going alive, you know, not missing no games.
Yeah.
I would never want to be his
I
backup.
I need you guys to play hard.
We will. It's a division game, and Redskins have a good team. So we'll play well. I'm always going to take the Giants. So I'm going with the G-men all day, baby.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the G-men, too, because I need them. Because the Packers, in order to have two different ways to get into the
playoffs. Oh, you need a little help, Joe?
Yeah.
You need a little help,
well,
buddy?
We don't need it, but if we don't win on Sunday night, then we can get in with it.
You're asking for our assistance,
so
huh?
I am asking for the Giants to win, so I'll take New York.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I think if Eli can just at least take care of the ball, this should be
That's
okay.
That's all I want. But so, just take care of the ball, Eli.
All right.
Throw it to your team.
All right. We'll go to Joel's game, Packers-Lions. Lions at home. Both teams are 9-6.
You already know where I'm going. This is easy.
+3 for Detroit.
I'm going with Detroit, man. I'm thinking their luck runs out, dog. I love Aaron Rodgers, but.
Right about now is where I turn on my man 17. I'm actually going to do the rest of the show with my back to him. You already know I got
We all agree. We got to disagree on one thing. So I think it's going to be a great game. And Stafford, he got something to prove, you know, so.
Nick, where are you going?
I'm picking the Packers. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to pull this off. So.
And you still got to work with me next week. All right.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Patriots, Damn. Dolphins. Dolphins at home, +9.5. Heavily favored Patriots.
Patriots are going to rest people. I think they learned their lesson with Wes Welker a couple years ago. I think that's a game that, I mean, Miami definitely, I'm not even saying they need it, but that Matt Moore needs it just to get more snaps. But I think at the end of the day, I think that the Patriots are going to do enough to win the game, but I don't think by that spread.
I think Miami will win because the Patriots will rest players, and I don't think Bill Belichick wants Adamican Sue introducing himself to Tom Brady in the backfield. So you never know what
might
happen.
I think they've learned a little bit of a lesson. I don't think you're going to see a lot of the big-time players for the Patriots, especially with Gronk already done for the year.
Yeah, I have to go with Miami, but Patriots are always prepared for anything. So
Nicholas?
All right, I'll go with Miami as well. Two more games here. Second to the last, Saints and Falcons. The Falcons are at home, -7 for Atlanta.
Against who?
Yeah, against the Saints. Who are they playing?
Who?
The Saints.
Saints.
Oh, Saints. Look, they need that game. Because everybody, them and Seattle, everybody's fighting for the what-ifs and where they finish. I just think Atlanta's – I think they got more to play for, so they'll win the game.
Yeah, I'm going with the Dirty Birds. Matty Ice is having a fantastic year. Their running game is outstanding. They got a top-notch receiver. I'm hoping Julio is healthy. I think he played last week. So he needs to play a little bit.
You've got
to
be careful with that Dirty Bird stuff unless you hang out with Jamal Anderson in Quick Stops.
That's a different Dirty Bird.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's
gotcha.
A different Dirty
right.
Bird.
That one doesn't have claws.
Yeah,
Nick?
It don't have claws.
I'm
going to
go with the Falcons as well. And now the game over at in Tennessee, the game at home would normally be played on Kirby. But the Texans and Titans, Titans minus 3, Titans 8-7, Texans 9-6. What do you got?
I know from listening to the Blitz that you get 3 just for playing at home. And I also know that Tennessee's not having anything to play for. And yet I somehow strangely believe the Titans are going to show up. I'm taking Tennessee in the upset. Nick?
I'm going to go with Houston for sure.
I'm gonna go Houston because I think they want to win 10 games. And I think Savage, we need some positive going into the playoffs.
That's exactly why Tennessee's going to win the game.
Damn.
Woo. I picked him to be 9-7 at the start of the year. So in order to have that happen, I need Tennessee to win. I think Tennessee's going to win. Without that, well, Mary, it's been phenomenal to have you
join
the show.
3 hours went by so quick,
and it did,
buddy.
Because we were having fun.
Exactly.
And before we wrap things up, the one thing I want to talk to you about was you have 3 NBA championships, right?
Yes.
You played with some really good teams.
Yes.
Do you even begin to start to categorize them as the best team I ever played for, my favorite championship, things like that when you look back at your career?
It's just all been fun, Joe. I mean, God been good. You know, the journey I've been through, what got me to the NBA, all the hard work and all the cities, the CBAs, and just appreciating every time being on the floor. And that's why I don't understand why guys miss games. This is a great game.
Well, I talked to Coach McHale about that.
Would never want to miss an NBA game unless I was seriously hurt. I enjoyed the competition. I didn't want to let my teammates down. I didn't want to let my coach down. I played with some great played for some great coaches, played with some great teammates, and enjoyed my run, man. Had a great run, playoffs every year.
Best big man you ever played with?
Oh, come on, dude. Olajuwon, that's easy. Olajuwon, 1A, Tim Duncan, 1B, Robinson, 1C.
If you had to pick one between Tim Duncan and Hakeem Olajuwon,
that's
who
easy.
Are you picking?
34.
Ah,
34.
I love it.
I got to go with 34 all day, baby.
Best wing you ever played with?
Wow. Man, Mitch was pretty good. You know, Chris Mullin was pretty good. It was 2 Hall of Famers right there.
You played with Mully in the pros and in high school.
Yes.
Sean Elliott, I mean, Robert Horry,
Clyde Drexler. We'll have to say Clyde, definitely. Then I'll go with Mullin and Mitch Richmond and Robert.
Okay.
Played with
favorite
great.
Win of all time.
Favorite win of all time. You know it was a good win, Joe. Game 5, being down 3-1 with Clyde being on IVs
in Phoenix,
and I'm on the video saying, "Hey, they not even giving us a chance." And that game sort of ignited us for the rest of the playoff run. When we won that game, you know, in overtime with Clyde, just a great contest, and we beat them in overtime. Us overcoming that, being down 3-1. You know, without our second best player and going on and winning the way we did, that was pretty cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is why he is a gem in the city of Houston, Texas. He could have said the kiss of death. He could have said it was me front and center, and that's the reason why it was the best game he's ever played in. Instead, he picked a game in which the Rockets had their backs to the wall and found a way to win, just like they did to win the championships. That's why he is a phenomenal asset to this city. And a man I'm proud to call friend, Mario Ellie. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you being a part of the show.
Great
Welcome
3 hours,
anytime.
Man. Great 3 hours. It went by quickly. Thank you guys for having me.
Got to do this again and do it soon. We're going to turn
New
over
Year.
To the Blitz. So for Mario, Joel Blank, Nick Sciarra back at the studio and all the fine staff here at ESPN 97.5 helping us out at Christian's Tailgate. We are going to sign off and turn it over to Fred and AJ, but we appreciate you listening. We'll be back again on Tuesday. We're off Monday. Join us then, ESPN 97.5.
Home for sports is ESPN 97.5.